Welcome to Crispy Coated Robots Listens To, an in-depth exploration into music's pinnacle recordings of the past. For this episode, Jim and George discuss the fifth studio album by American rock band Creedence Clearwater Revival, Cosmos Factory. Now on with the show.
Hey, it's Jim.
And it's George. Welcome to Crispy Coated Robots Listen To.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we listening to today?
Cosmos Factory.
Right. So that's right, kids. It's CCR talking about CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
And if you listen to the show on like some sort of streaming site, you'll see what we're listening to. So now it's going to say double CCR on it. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You listen to
it. Very cool. So this is their 1970 album, their fifth album that we're going to be talking about. And
you love the cover of the album, don't you?
Oh, it's the worst cover ever.
It looks like the first man cave or something, you know, where they're just kind of riding a bike in the middle of the house.
It's insane.
Any kind of background on that, or just kind of like they just...
Well, Bob Fogerty. So anytime you let a family member do something for you to try to cut costs or whatever.
Yes.
Anyway, he took the picture, Bob Fogerty. And I do appreciate that this was really their rehearsal space in Doug Clifford's house. They had a shed kind of in the backyard, but that's actually where it gets its name. Doug's nickname was Cosmo.
So it's Cosmo's Factory.
And, you know, John Fogerty, he was relentless. He would make those guys practice every single day.
The album's real tight, and, too. You can tell. Yeah.
But they just ended up calling it the Factory, nicknaming it the Factory. So you're actually looking at where their rehearsal studio and writing.
So it's not a terrible cover. I guess it's a bad cover because it looks just like a random bunch of stuff, like guys hanging
out. Well, the logo is obscured by this beam, and it's just awful.
Okay, you as a graphic designer think it's awful, too, along with just the looking at it.
So I could do a whole show about why this album cover is awful. But it is what it is, and we recognize it for, you know...
Longer.
So this is one of those times, don't judge judge an album by its cover, because this is a good album. This is a great album in some places.
Yes, 9 consecutive weeks at number one in 1970 on the Billboard 200 chart, and it just was the one that kind of like a bunch of hits just added to their legacy, because they had Willie and the Poor Boys did really well in 1969, and now this one sprouted so many singles. But it's kind of funny, as many singles as it sprouted, it kind of starts off with a bunch of, well, two songs before it, non-single songs. And this first one, Ramble Tamble, is a longer song. It sounds like kind of a revival, you know, with the tambourine and stuff going on it. I mean, that's the kind of vibe I get, unless you get something else.
No, it is a longer song. It's over 7 minutes, and it's just kind of built off of this riff and then multiple tempo changes. So you really get the sense that it's just the guys jamming.
Yeah, and this whole album is that. So lay back and just listen, because there's a lot of songs that really explore the jamming side that kind of got George and I inspired. We'll talk about later. But right now, let's ramble tamble as we listen to Cosmos Factory.
See you in 7 minutes.
The staff of Crispy Coated Robots and Circus Joe Productions deeply and sincerely regret that hosts Jim and George are too cheap and financially insolvent to fork over the necessary funds for the music licensing for this episode. Should you decide, as we have, that their lack of commitment to this cause has put a proverbial burr under your saddle, and you want to hear the tunes discussed, please visit the hyperlinks provided in the episode notes. We apologize for this neglect and wanton travesty of a presentation. But seriously, what did you expect? Now on with the show.
There's the end of the ramble tamble. Yep. It's Crispy Coated Robots today. CCR, listening to CCR's Cosmos Factory.
I wanted to mention, you talked about, this is the only song on the album, talking about singles, that was not previously released as a single, you know, by another artist.
You're talking about Ramble Tamble?
Ramble Tamble.
Yeah.
Or a single from this album. So this is the singleless song on the thing, but we're moving to Before You Accuse Me.
Before You Accuse Me of what?
Of ramble tambling. this is a old Bo Diddley song back in 57. I first heard this song on an unplugged version of Clapton's 1992 Unplugged. But when I heard it later on CCR's album, this album, it's like, oh yeah, I know this song very well. But Before You Accuse Me.
Yeah, so Elias McDaniel is the writer. Any kind of background on him as far as just, I guess he was an old kind of blues guy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and this is something where, you know who Elias McDaniel is? That's Bo Diddley's real name. So there you go. Makes sense. He wrote the song, Clapton covered in 92. And of course, John Fogerty was great at this too, covering songs. And he had a lot of his songs, as we know, from, Tina Turner doing Proud Mary covered himself. So here is Before You Accuse Me as we listen to Cosmos Factory.
Please pause the device player now to review the audio file link in the show notes, if you're into that kind of thing. We now return to Jim and George.
All right. Yep. Before You Accuse Me, CCR.
So crazy. You accuse me of buying people clothes. That's such a strange...
Weird things to accuse you of, yeah. You think like, you know, accuse me of cheating on you or something like that. But
buying you clothes, which is, I guess, somehow worse
than, than cheating.
Infidelity.
Yeah. This is a album that pretty much took over the charts in 1970.
Yes.
And this is the first, this is one of the singles that a lot of people like to cover. I know Bruce Springsteen does a cover of it too. It's such a short song. I didn't realize how short it was, but Traveling Band was one of those songs that was on, it's funny, back in the 80s, they had a commercial for their greatest hits and that this is the sound that changed the pop music. And they'd play like, dang, 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 you know, that whole song. But Traveling Band was definitely a signature song for CCR.
Yeah. This is the first single with the flip side of Who'll Stop the Rain, which is also on this album we'll talk about in a little bit. But John Fogerty wrote it about the hectic lifestyle that the band was on the road in 69. They were playing all these festivals and stuff, like they were at Woodstock, but while it was exciting, they didn't have their own private jet yet, so they were constantly losing their baggage, and they spent a lot of time at these festivals or outdoor festivals just waiting in the heat for their stint, to go and play in a little bit and everything. Jim, I know you were a morning radio DJ for Clear Channel Communications for many years.
At one time, and switched a bunch of companies.
Okay. Yeah. Can you confirm something for me about this song? I heard that this song was put on a list of inappropriate tunes for a period of time. Did you?
I don't know anything about that. Yeah. Did they say something in the song? Or?
Well, and you've taught me this. I'll tell you after the break.
Okay. That's good. So Traveling Band, and this song to me kind of goes in that tradition of, it sounds like that back in the USSR. It sounds like Chuck Berry's Promised Land. It's that kind of traveling beat to it. So here it is, Traveling Band, CCR from Cosmos Factory.
Please pause the device player now to review the audio file link in the show notes. Welcome back. Here's Jim and George once again.
All right, Traveling Band, CCR, yeah. Cosmos Factory is the album we're listening to today with Crispy Coated Robots, and George teased before the break. Why was this song banned, George?
Well, Clear Channel Communications pulled it after 9/11, because the opening line, as we just heard, 737 coming out of the sky, talking about a Boeing 737.
Yeah.
So following the terrorist attacks in America on September 11th, 2001, it was put on the 9/11 inappropriate titles back then. So I knew you had worked for them
around that
period, I thought.
I don't remember that band, and I didn't work in this format either. So that's kind of crazy. Anything that mentions, and I don't even think they're talking about a plane crashing. They're talking about bringing the band home.
Exactly. Yeah. Do we want to talk about the Little Richard lawsuit here?
It does sound like it. It could be a Little Richard song, like I mentioned before, Chuck Berry, even Beach Boys or Beatles. But
so the company that had the publishing rights to Little Richard's "Good Golly Miss Molly" felt like Traveling Band was
too similar. It sounds
like it.
Yeah, when you mentioned "Good Golly Miss Molly," I just put them together.
And there
in my
was
head.
A lawsuit. I think they settled out of court, but there was a plagiarism lawsuit that was filed against that song, which I think was, to me, kind of unfair because I felt like he was paying tribute to all, not just Little Richard's music, but all that music collectively at that time.
Chuck Berry, similar to me, that song Promised Land, which is covered by Elvis, that, run the Mississippi. That sounds like that whole kind of we're going to all these towns. Yeah. Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere. That kind of whole we're moving across the country type thing. But so did they win the lawsuit? Did they
settled out of court? So okay. that's Okay. That could go either way, I guess.
All right. Let's move on now to Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby.
Ooby.
Do you have any background on Ooby Dooby?
Ooby. Well, Ooby without the dooby is just not. So they're the songwriters, Wade Moore and Dick Penner. They this is actually a Texas reference. They were at the University of North Texas, and they got a six-pack of beer, went on the top of their frat house, the flat roof, and they wrote it in a matter of minutes. But what made the song happen, Roy Orbison, who was also a student at North Texas, was a friend of theirs. And he heard the song in late 55, recorded a demo of it, and whenever he rose in popularity, this song became a hit for him.
So CCR just took it and said, let's put Ooby Dooby on our album.
Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby.
Short song, like 2 minutes.
Here's Ooby Dooby on Cosmos Factory.
Please press pause now. Welcome back. Here's more from Jim and George.
All right, there we go. Ooby Dooby, CCR, CCR, Crispy Coated Robots listens to CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Cosmos Factory, on to cut number 5 on side one. We're still on side one because it's weird. We started with that real long song, but you mentioned, a lot of these songs are 2 minutes, and this next one is 2 minutes too, which is a great one. Looking Out My Back Door.
Yep.
I can't help but think of Big Lebowski on this one, but what's the background on the actual song?
Yeah, when he's the dude is in his car.
It's trying to smoke him.
Yeah. But it's not about drugs. A lot of people have said, because of the lyrics, it's kind of like the Lucy in the Sky thing from the Beatles, saying that was LSD. It was inspired, you know, the Dr. Seuss book, To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. About a crazy parade passing outside the home. This was the third single, by the way. Fogerty wrote it for his 3-year-old son, who he thought it would be just a lot of fun for him to hear doot, 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 looking out my back door, you know? So
it's got definitely got a feeling too. And it's got that kind of real, you know, they have always kind of a twinge towards country and rhythm and blues. Of course, this one twins more on the countryside with the,
I love this rhythm.
It's the way they put it all together. And, if you are a Big Lebowski fan, when dude does, try to light his joint, drops it and burns himself and jumps into the trash cans. It's a great scene. So here it is, Looking Out My Back Door, as we listen to Cosmos Factory.
You know the drill by now. Pause here, listen to the track, and come back. Welcome back. Here's Jim and George once again.
Looking out my back door.
Yep, that's Fogerty on the dobro. And I love that slide.
Yeah, I love the way they kind of end their songs too. It's almost like like you said, when you mentioned the lawsuit, they always kind of have that classic tribute kind of ending type things on some of these songs too, you know. But Looking Out My Back Door, a hit onto another hit, which has been used a lot lately. Gosh. It's used in a lot of Vietnam films too, which is Run Through the Jungle.
Yeah, Air America, My Girl.
Tropic Thunder, I remember they used it in there.
Lebowski. Again.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Drift. They use it in Disney's Jungle Cruise and TV series like Supernatural and Hawaii Five-O.
And I might be mistaken, but I think this is the one they actually sued about when he did the song Old Man Down the Road. When he did a solo album and he was off Fantasy Records, he was on Warner Brothers, and they said he was kind of plagiarizing himself.
Yeah,
so Saul Zance.
Yeah, the guy that owned the publishing rights, Saul.
Which, that's a whole other story. I think it's Fogerty's parents that signed him away, and he basically doesn't own his own music. Yep. Sad story.
It's the first time an artist was sued for plagiarizing himself. The song does bear a lot of similarities, I will give it, but the fact that it is the same writer, that case went on for about 10 years.
Really?
And while that was going on, in an act of retaliation, Fogerty didn't play any Creedence songs.
That's crazy.
On his 1986 tour, which is really unfortunate. If you saw him, you know, you want the new stuff.
Album was really good. I'll give him that. Center Field was a great album, and it might be something we do in the future.
You want some of that Creed, a little bit.
It's like seeing Paul McCartney do no Beatles, stuff that he started adding in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of his writing. He's such a great writer, and all the stuff that he had, classic hits that he had with this band. That
would be sad. And this was the second single with the flip side of Up Around the Bend, which I love it when groups would release a 45 and they didn't have a B side. You know, both sides were A number one songs. So they do that a lot here. And this song is, the lyrics are as relevant today as it was 50 years ago when he wrote it. It's about the proliferation of guns and registered or otherwise, just basically the danger of uncontrolled or lax gun regulations, which he's not an anti-gun nut or anything like that. He was a hunter at the time of writing this tune, but it's about people going crazy and not being responsible. So the fact that somehow it has become this song about Vietnam, I think is because he did write songs about the conflict that was happening at that time. But this is not about that.
Well, it's kind of crazy too. This so good the band is in creating this kind of swampy, jungly stuff. Is it Green River,
yeah.
Born on the Bayou, just the mood. And this is another
one of those
songs.
Yeah, they call it swamp rock.
It's another one of those kind of things, you know.
But the line that really gives it away, 200 million guns are loaded and Satan cries, take aim.
200 million guns are loaded and Satan cries, bow on me.
Even back then, America had a problem with firearms and really lax regulations.
You
things.
Better run through the jungle.
I would rather hear the song.
Let's play it right now. As we're listening to Cosmos Factory.
It's time once again to pause in order to check out the music. Here's Jim and George once again.
All right, that wraps up side
one. That's it. Moving over to side two.
Flip over your records if you're following us on your phonographs, if you still have those, if you're really old school like George. So we're on to side two now with another hit.
And this would have been the flip side of the 45.
Too. Oh, wow. Yep. Up Around the Bend.
Up Around the Bend, the second single.
Another kind of, well, this isn't as swampy, but it's go up around the bend. I just get that feeling of like driving in the country type thing, you know?
Well, that's funny because that was basically how he wrote the song. He was on a motorcycle riding through the California hills. And a lot of people thought, that there was something more to the meaning and everything. It's just an optimistic song when you consider what the world was going through in 1970 or 69. Just basically, things are going to improve, you know. So kind of the opposite of Run Through the Jungle. So it's interesting that they were on flip sides of the 45, because you got one song that's, I don't say pessimistic, but not as optimistic as what we're about to hear.
Yeah. So here's Up Around the Bend from Cosmos Factory.
Please pause the device player now to review the audio file link in the show notes, if you're into that kind of thing. We now return to Jim and George.
All right. We're back from Up Around the Bend.
Yeah. And I want to point something out, because I know we have European listeners.
Well, can I tell them it's Crispy Coated Robots listening to Cosmos Factory?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
You can't say any of that stuff, because this is more important. I know overseas, Around the Bend means you've gone crazy.
Okay.
And like mental illness or dementia or anything. That is not what Around the Bend means here in the States. So, okay. Now you can do your thing.
Gotcha. And this is the prime lineup too of CCR on this album. John Fogerty, of course, lead guitar, vocals, Tom, his brother on rhythm, Stu Cook, bass guitar and backing vocals. And they had Doug Clifford. He's actually credited on this album with drums and cowbell. Cowbell was so important to the band, they thought they it would be a separate category.
Yeah, we don't want to get confused.
It wasn't part of the drums. He does drums, and he does cowbell.
And he is Cosmo.
Yes, and Russ Gary did the engineering, as George mentioned at the top of the show. Bob Fogerty, cover art, design, and photography.
I wonder if he
did anything else after
this. Yeah.
I really like that Cosmos Factory. How did you come up with that?
Wow, the way it looks so bad. Can you do our...
All right. Second song on side two is My Baby Left Me.
Yeah. 1950s song. Elvis Presley covered it. That's probably how...
That's how it goes?
Elvis having a stroke, apparently.
Here it is.
Or coming back from dental surgery. I don't know.
My baby left me, as we listen to Cosmos Factory.
Please pause the device player now to review the audio file link in the show notes. Welcome back. Here's Jim and George once again.
That's My Baby Left Me from CCR.
Yeah, you can see why it appealed to Elvis.
Yeah. See, it was my impersonation pretty good?
Nope.
Okay. We're listening to Cosmos Factory today, the classic album from 1970. I did say 70s from actually 1970 it was created. So we have next another hit.
This was the first single on the flip side of Traveling Band.
Who'll Stop the Rain, which right. ended up being a Nick Nolte film. But go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, when the producers of Who'll Stop the Rain got the rights to this song, they changed what the name of the film was going to be to this because of the popularity of this song.
I see what you're saying. So, but it's funny, the movie came out like 7 or 8 years afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog Soldiers?
I could see in 1970 doing it if it came out then, but... Anyway.
Well, and what's crazy, this is another one of those things. It's not a Vietnam song.
It's just about rain.
Well, it was actually, you know, like I mentioned before, the band played Woodstock, and there was a downpour in Woodstock, and it literally is about stopping the rain. Because the line that we'll hear in a moment, heard the singers playing How We Cheered for More. The crowd rushed together, trying to keep warm. Still, the rain kept pouring, falling on my ears. I wonder who'll stop the rain.
And speaking of rain at Woodstock, I love that line that I think Neil Young uses on one of his live albums or something, that from the Woodstock in the film. It's a famous scene where it's raining and the guy's on stage. If you think real hard, maybe we could stop this rain. And the crowd starts chanting, "No rain, no rain." And of course it rains harder. Yeah. That was just that hippie attitude. If we all put our minds together, right. We can stop this rain.
Yeah. You know? The rain's not having it.
All right.
But yeah, it's a great song. It is not about Vietnam. Listen to the lyrics, kids.
But it will be featured in every single Vietnam film. Here's Who Stopped the Rain from CCR and Cosmos Factory.
It's time once again to pause in order to check out the music. Here's Jim and George once again.
Who'll Stop the Rain?
Not those guys at Woodstock.
That's not the guys at Woodstock. We're listening to Cosmos Factory today, the classic Creedence Clearwater Revival album from 1970. We're up to a song that changed George and I's life. I heard it through the grapevine. Yes.
Yeah, the fourth single.
They did a version of the thing. And how did they get away with the single, with the song being 11 minutes and 5 seconds? I'm guessing there was a single edit?
I guess. I never heard the single. My exposure to this, and I remember when I heard this, there was a radio station where I lived, KLOL.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the Marvin Gaye version. I even knew the Gladys Knight and the Pips version that had come out many years before. But I was blown away by this version because this goes on for over 11 minutes. And
yes,
it is just this great jam session that we're about to hear. So I'm very excited. The fact that we here at Crispy Coated Robot Studios today, we're going to expose somebody else to who has never heard this song. So we're passing the baton that was passed to us many years ago, that you're going to hear this epic version. The song is a great song.
Yes, yes.
But where they go and take it, I remember sitting there just listening to it in kind of a darkened room going, this is just going on forever. This is amazing. It felt like I was in their concert.
Yeah.
You know.
So or the practice room. That's what I'm thinking too. It kind of reminded me of practicing, where you're still kind of feeling out what you're going to do on the song when I heard it. And this was the year I think I got my first guitar, my first electric guitar, and I also got the Chronicle CCR album, which had their greatest hits. Yeah. Yep. And this was on there. And to hear some of the sounds they were making, and then some of the sounds I could actually get on my guitar, I still couldn't play at the time, but some of the stuff that he was doing, like stuff that I was able to kind of like almost mimic a little bit. It kind of got me excited that I could get kind of close to what they were doing. Not saying they were bad players, but this kind of was very accessible. Jamming.
He does melodic things, and then he will do things that are just sounds
based upon feeling. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which finding that blend of both is what just makes him such a great guitarist to me.
All right. Well, here's what I think sounds like George and I's favorite version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine from Creedence.
I could go there.
Clearwater Revival.
Let's do it.
Please press pause now. Welcome back. Here's more from Jim and George.
All right, CCR. We're listening to CCR's Cosmo Factory here today. We're up to our last cut. We heard the epic. I heard it through the grapevine. Still nice to sit and jam and listen to that in the studio. Now it's to Fogarty kind of letting his voice do it with Long As I See Can See the Light. Wouldn't you say that's kind of a very nice vocal from Fogarty here?
Yeah, this is great. And this is an unexpected ending for this album for me, which I just think is great. Very optimistic. Fogarty is going to use the candle metaphor for guiding the singer home. And it's great. You know, I'm a keyboardist. I love this electric piano work that he does. He plays the horns too. Not at the same time.
Yeah, but you're right. They have him listed as electric piano, keyboard, saxophone, harmonica, producer, arranger, everything pretty much.
Yeah, so that's why when Fogarty went out on his own, he sounded like CCR.
Yeah, I mean, that's the voice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's everything as far as I'm concerned. But it's just about this loner that wants to feel understood and, you know, the needing those at home to put a light in the window so he could find his way back. So very sentimental, but not dripping with sentimentality. It's a very
it's a fine line between creative and stupid, as they would say in Spinal Tap. So here is Long As I Could See the Light from Cosmos Factory.
This should be the last time that you have to pause this, I promise. And now, here are some final thoughts from Jim and George regarding this episode's selection.
And we're wrapping up Cosmos Factory today. Our selection is Crispy Coated Robots Listen To, the classic 1970 album from Creedence, Clearwater Revival. And you can kind of see now why the dude in Big Lebowski wants to get his Creedence tape back when his car is stolen, because there's so many great songs.
So many Lebowski references today.
Yes, many great songs too on this album alone. So what a legacy. And like you said, Fogarty, his brothers were involved, other people involved, but a lot of that comes from the mind of John Fogarty, besides the covers that were on here, you know.
I think that's why he went solo, was that that cover. Yeah. That
I'm trying to figure out why he waited so long, because it was like 1985, right, before he started. Legal stuff, you know, so much legal stuff that I think I might have the original album of Centerfield. He has a song called Zans Can't Dance.
Yeah, which talking is about Saul.
But he'll steal your money. That was the other part of it.
Yeah.
He had to change it to Vans Can't Dance because he got sued. Because, like, you can't say Saul Zans. And Saul Zans ended up going to be a big movie producer, produced Amadeus and a couple other films after that, fantasy films, won some Oscars.
Yeah.
But obviously that was a bad blood situation. I would be mad too if I wrote all these amazing songs and all of a sudden they're not yours anymore.
So, yeah.
But great album today.
A Tony Orlando and Dawn moment there.
Yes.
Check into the Tie a Yellow Ribbon show.
And this might not be the only CCR or John Fogarty we hear in this series. I think he's got some great stuff.
You know, this album, certified 4 times platinum with over 4 million copies. But what baffles me about this group, okay, and I'm not talking about Fogarty's solo stuff, but this group, they sold millions of records, never had a number one hit. They got up to number two about 4 or 5 times on the Hot 100, but they are the highest act. They're the act that
probably
has
the most number twos, probably
highest number twos without ever having a number one.
Wow, that's interesting. I thought you were going to originally say like Red Buttons from the Dean Martin roast. This is the only group that never got a dinner,
never got a dinner.
But okay, there it is. We're wrapping up the show today. Thank you so much for listening. All things Crispy Coated Robots, go to crispycoatedrobots.com, and we have a podcast every single Tuesday. New content every single Tuesday. So listen to the great stuff we talk about, like best Bond movies, best pizza toppings.
Best cheese.
I mean, it's
detective.
Best household cleaner. We actually did that show.
Best tree.
That was a show too.
That was a show.
We're not just making it up and laughing. This is an actual show. So check us out. Crispy Coated Robots, wherever you listen to podcasts. And George, leave us with your final line.
Happy to do so. And this has been fun listening to this album again. Until next week, be well, be kind, and find a way to invest yourself into other people every single day.
This program has been a meaningless amalgamation of crispy-coated robots under the direction of Circus Joe Productions. Copyright 2021. All rights reserved. Copies of this broadcast transcript are not available, because you should have been paying more attention to the show while it was playing. You only have yourself to blame for that. Email Jim and George at crispycoatedrobots@gmail.com to inform them of what they got wrong, and all the parts that you liked, in the event that such a thing like that occurred. And finally, be sure to check out Crispy Coated Robots on their free weekly podcast available every Tuesday at crispycoatedrobots.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The future is counting on it.